We greet you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who came this evening, let us bow before him before we open God's word. Lord Heavenly Father, come before thee this evening hour, thankful for the opportunity to come before thy holy throne again, before thy feet for learning. We pray that thou wouldst, with thy Holy Spirit, guide the mind and the mouth of thy weak servant, Lord, that we would be edified, encouraged, corrected, whatever is necessary for each and every one of us. We know that thou knowest us all, and we know that thou knowest what we need to hear. We pray that thou wouldst prick our hearts, that we would look into ourselves, into this word that is before us as a mirror, that we would see what needs to be corrected in our individual lives as and also in our lives as a congregation. We pray, be with us. We commit this service into thy hands and keeping. Pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening meditation, I have desire to read from Titus chapter 2, entire chapter. Titus chapter 2. Apostle Paul is writing to his friend Titus. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort not to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. This is how much was written in this chapter. Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, who he felt very close to, who was left at Island Crete, that he would set things in order, that he would put elders, as we didn't read from the first chapter, but put elders in every city where there were believers. But he's warning Titus here that about what he should be expecting, about what is happening, what is Cretans, what are they known for. And for in the chapter number one, it says some heavy things over here that Apostle Paul is writing to him in verse 10, and a few verses from there. Says, "For these are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, but for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies." Maybe we could say very, very unbelievable things that the Apostle Paul is talking about these people, that they are known as liars, even of their own, prophet of their own is telling about it. And he says, this witness is true, actually. And he's preparing him. He's preparing him to stay sharp, to sharply admonish them, to bring him to the right way, and the things that shouldn't be in a church that would be thrown away, thrown out. So Apostle Paul is talking about this church or this nation, this people there, maybe not necessarily for the church alone, but for the people to be known as liars. What brings me many times when I hear things like this brings a thought to me, what would Apostle Paul say about our church? Or about our nation, or about our Apostolic Christian Faith Church of Nazarene? Would we be shocked if we heard something like this? Would we be encouraged? Would it be one of those churches which John is talking about in Revelation in 2nd and 3rd chapter, about 7 churches where Jesus Christ is talking about Church of Ephesus or Church of Laodicea, that I know your works, and he counts all the good things that he sees in a church, but there is one thing that you lack. Church of Ephesus sounded like was in a really, really good. He says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for many names' sake hast labored and hast not fainted." All the good things. That were happening in this church, all the good characteristics of the church, of the believers. "Nevertheless, I have something against thee. Because thou hast left thy first love." To Church of Laodicea, he was talking about wanting to spew them out of their mouth because they are neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. What would Apostle Paul or Jesus Christ or whoever we would care to hear from tell about our church? And we will maybe not know, we will not maybe not find out anything particular. Maybe if someone's talking about church, maybe it's talking behind everyone's backs. But we do have this word before us. We have examples, good and bad, throughout the whole Bible. And we can see, if we can maybe recognize ourselves in one of these churches, if we are truly, if we truly care to know. If we are open for criticism, if we are open for someone to tell us the truth. What did Jesus say to Church of Ephesus and Laodicea? Unless you repent and turn back to what you should be, I will remove the candlestick. We still have time to repent. If there is anything that we recognize, if there is anything that we realize, if there is anything that maybe we can identify with through these words that we have heard. Apostle Paul was warning Titus about different things that were not right in the island of Crete, between people that were part of church, calling them slow bellies. I don't exactly know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. It feels like it's people who worry about different things that they have no business in and worry about wrong things rather than how to serve God and how to live for Jesus Christ. Evil beasts, certainly not a good thing. Liars. Unto the pure all things are pure, unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Last two verses of the first chapter. Unto the pure all things are pure. Looks like sounds like everything was wrong in eyes of these people in this church. Everything was defiled because their hearts were defiled. Do we find ourselves sometimes being bothered, maybe by every single thing that is happening around us? And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about things that should not be in a church. Is everything defiled in our eyes? Do we find a problem in everything that is happening? Do we find a problem if someone wants to glorify God in their own way? This was happening in a church of Crete. But then Apostle Paul has a practical examples how our life should be lived on this earth. He has practical examples for aged men, for young men, for aged women, and so forth. But if you notice, in each of these verses where it says that the aged men are be sober, grave, temperate, sound of faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women, likewise, they be in behavior and as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children.
Apostle Paul is talking specifically to the groups of believers, things that matter for a spiritual health. And we can notice that it cannot be an accident that he's reminding us. He's reminding us to be sober, soberly minded. That we would be in our minds, that we would be clear in everything that we do, every decision we make, everything we do say or think.
Young men likewise exhort to be soberly minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Again, soberly minded. That we would show up patterns of good works. That we would not be satisfied to do good works once or twice and look to be recognized for it, but that would be something that is a pattern in our life. Something that is happening on a regular basis. That we would be almost automatically driven to always do good to those who are around us, to those that we know, or to those that we don't know in our lives. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. A sound speech. Something that we would be like, to my accounts, Daniel, who had 120, I think, princes and presidents against him trying to find things that they could accuse him of, and they could not. And what a glory to God is that the only thing they could accuse him of was his love and his loyalty to his Lord. Idle words that come out of our mouth. Matthew in chapter 12 is reminding us. Verse 36 and 37, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. So the things we talk, the things we say, things we show in our examples. Matthew in chapter 5, it says, let your yea be yea and yea be nay. So we should be known. We should be known that when we say something, that we don't have to go around and prove things or swear to prove our truthfulness. But we should be known that when I say something, that means exactly what I said. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say about you. How many of us can say for ourselves that if someone wants to find something on me, that they are not going to be able to find absolutely nothing? Maybe the only thing they can accuse me of is that my loyalty towards my God, my Creator. I know for myself it would not take too much time. To my shame. We have time to repent. I have time to repent. And I have time to correct my ways if I'm not truthful in my life. If my word doesn't really mean what it sounds like. If I can't say with assurity that really everything I say means exactly what do you hear? I believe Apostle Paul is reminding us through his word, if you're looking to this word as a mirror that we could really see ourselves. Apostle Paul reminding ourselves as well as the church on Crete. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. It's talking about servants. We don't necessarily live in a time of masters and servants, but when we think about it, we're all either masters or servants or both. Those of us that work, even if we work for others, we are always servants to those who pay us. Servants to our customers. So it's reminding us over here to be loyal, to be honest. Because the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to all men. Grace of God is brought for each and every one of us, no matter what status we have in a society, no matter whether we recognize ourselves as servants or masters or both or none. Jesus Christ came and died for each and every one of us. And same things applies to each and every one of us. No one is excluded from the ways the Apostle Paul is teaching us to be or how we should live our lives on this earth. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. Talks about sobriety again, righteously and godly, and this in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We're all here with one goal, I believe. If we didn't care about salvation, we would probably not be here. We are all on the path that we want to be together with the Lord one day, I believe, with all my whole heart.
And I believe Apostle Paul, talking to Titus in this case, has only best intention for him to bring the believers on a right path, on a straight path. And so is he doing with us this evening. Holy Spirit talking to each and every one of us, that we would examine ourselves, that we would think, would I like what Apostle Paul would have to tell to our church or our nation or our faith here? Or would it be something that needs fixing? Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. This is what he's exhorting each and every one of us, because Jesus Christ does want us to be with him. He wants us to be his peculiar people, and he will do everything that he needs to do to give us power, to give us grace to do so, and even to give us strength to correct the ways that need to be corrected. May the Lord, in his power, give each and every one of us, dear ones, that we would think on these things, that we would really strive to be to his glory, that in everything we do say or think, it will bring him glory to him and him alone. And I believe he will give us strength, he will give us his help to do so, if we are willing to do it. May the Lord bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.